Welcome to our second session this morning. Who wasn't here for the first one?
My friend, she did.
I wasn't.
Oh, shame on you.
Are you someone who tell me off?
We have such an inspiring
speaker. And it's going to be downhill from now on. I can say that here. Well, wonderful to have all our Bibles. There's so many places I go to now and they take out their tablets and you're wondering, are they actually following or not? You know, what a book the Bible is. You know, it isn't only the best seller. The book. Well, the Bible, however it is, tablets, paper or whatever. It's also the most burned book in the Bible, in the world. It's the most shoplifted book. Apparently, I don't know how they reckon it. Now, whether it's stolen and then the guy who reads it is, oh, I can bring it back, I don't know. But incredible things that we have there. And it's good to be able to spend Easter looking through some of its truths. And we're going to sing one song. And Peter Elix and I really first met up in Thailand. Or had we met before that? Briefly. And you kind of threw out a casual, why don't you come and visit me? And then when I did, I think he was shocked. And I got a bit lost on the way up. And after 2 days, they were worried. And then I arrived at the back of a motorbike. And the way I knew I could tell the man who I, because I didn't have the address for some reason, Bankarut. And he said, oh, what do they look like? I said, there's three young girls are blonde. He said, I know. They're on the bike, and down we go on the bike. And Pete's just coming out of his house. This is about 1991 or so, 92. Going to look for me or pet the police or the helicopters. And I arrived there with all my cases and everything. And it's been great. And it's been terrific to have reunion tonight. Yeah. So we're going to sing Thank You for the Cross. So shall we just stand, because you'll be sitting for the next 55 minutes.
In love you came, when I met.
Jesus, your presence always continues to, will forever amaze us. Lord, although we can only, in one sense, understand, see, receive, take in part, you are complete. You are the complete one. You come to us in completeness today, Lord. We thank you as we meet together. Lord, you move amongst us. Lord, you fill us, you refine us. Lord, you are the one who trims and the ones who blesses, the one who reassures, the one who gives vision. And Lord, we thank you for dear Peter and Ruth here with us, Lord, and the legacy of faithful service I just see in this couple. And we thank you, Lord, that you inhabit them, you inhabit Pete as he comes and shares with us today, Lord. And we may catch you. We may catch you, Lord. Yes, we're taught, but it's better to be caught, Lord. We catch you today in as he opens up this scripture to us. And we pray for him that he will know, even on his feet, he will know that sense of your flow through him now, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Larry. Just to give you a little bit more of that story. We were living in Bangkruat, which was the back of beyond in those days in northeast Thailand and on the border of Cambodia. And we got a letter from Ireland saying Larry should be with you now. Now, it took 2 weeks for a letter to arrive from Ireland. So you'll understand that we were a bit concerned that he hadn't actually arrived. And we didn't. Yeah. Well, anyway, so I went looking for him, couldn't find him, came back home. And 5 minutes later, he walked in the door. And it was just amazing. What he didn't say was that on the back of the motorbike with himself was a huge box of toys for our little girls. Thank you. Thank you. And then he came back another time with a lovely young man whose name I've forgotten. He was a solicitor.
Rory,
that's it, Rory. And we were in the back of the pickup truck, and you and Rory were playing a game with a Coke bottle called Coca-Cola. And you just had us in hysterics, and our girls too, and we've never forgotten Coca-Cola. Okay, Coca-Cola. But Larry, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to see us in that place. Amazing, amazing God, amazing love, amazing grace. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Right, well, I'd like to take us on from where we were last night, which was walking in love to please God. Okay, the essential theme, living to please God, aiming to please God in our lives, by the way we conduct our lives, by the way we walk, to use the Bible term. And it does use the word walk, both in Hebrew and in Greek. It uses a simple term, walk. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to begin with, and verse there, and or a couple of verses there, and one in Galatians as well, 2 Corinthians 5, and Paul is writing here to his beloved brethren, and he's talking about, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about being with the Lord. And he says it's not when you go to be with the Lord, you're not undressed. Although we leave the body behind, we're not undressed. Actually, we're dressed by him with further clothing that is a garment of immortality, so that we are more ourselves than we have ever been on earth. That's basically, I think, what he's saying. And we break in at verse 5. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. So this is what God had in view from before the world began. This is our temporary home, not our permanent home. And our permanent home will be on earth, but it will be on earth with Jesus. Hallelujah. In a world where righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. And God has also given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. So if we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives now, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit who will come to you will be with you forever. Hallelujah. And that's the down payment that we have right now, this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's only a part of our permanent possession. So what will the permanent possession be like? So here we are. So we are always confident, Paul says, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. He got his confidence from this, that God has a further aim in view. And God's long-term aim is greater by far than anything we can conceive of. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Glory to his name. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Yeah. And the aspect I want to focus on, or I believe the Lord wants to focus on this morning, is walking by faith as well pleasing to him. And one more verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, which links us with what I was sharing last night about walking in love, even as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. Galatians chapter 6, it's chapter 5 and verse 6. Chapter 5 and verse 6, got the verse the wrong way around. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Where can you see that on Rora campus? Where can you see that verse on Rora campus? I'll give a box. Sorry? Yeah?
R-O-R-A.
Where is it? It's on the notice board down there. R-O, regions overseas, regions around. And underneath it says, faith works by love. So if we're walking in love, the faith of God will also be operating in our lives to bring us into new places with him, as we've been hearing from Larry this morning, which is a glorious thought, that this life of God in us is never static. It's great to know, isn't it? God is never static. The world is always changing. We're moving through space at some immense speed, and the seasons come and the seasons go, and God is doing stuff all the time, everywhere, in his creation, but he's doing stuff in your life and mine as well. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. He's never static. Yeah. And he doesn't want us to become static either, because if we're static, we can become stagnant. Yeah. And we start to breathe noxious fumes and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. But God wants us to be moving on with him, as we heard in the last session. And I just want to look in, go now to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just go and look there for a few minutes, and then we'll move into the Gospels. So here we are. We're aiming to please God. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 and 6, we find out that walking in faith, trusting in God, really pleases him. This is exciting. By faith, Enoch was taken away. He disappeared. And who knows? You know, maybe the Lord will suddenly appear and we'll disappear instantly and be changed instantly into this new body which God has prepared for us from before the world began. And we won't be racked by these pains and these conditions that so often we are at certain times of life. And we'll be absolutely free in the Holy Spirit and filled with life forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is his purpose for us. So here we are. Here's Enoch. He was taken away so that he did not see death. He's a type of the believers, those who remain when the Lord returns, who will be taken up and into the skies as he returns, and then back down to earth with him to live with him forever. And he was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had God in his house. The secret blessing of the Lord is in the house of the righteous. Proverbs 3:33. God is in this house, Rora House. And it's because God is in the house of any believer.
Yeah.
He dwells in these mortal bodies of ours by his Spirit, who we can't see, but he dwells within us and outside of us. And he carries us from day to day. And as I said last night, we only have 24 hours at a time. The Lord may come back tomorrow. We don't know, do we? Certain signs seem to intimate maybe it'll be a few years down the line, but we don't know. Yeah. So here we are. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is a great thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if we do have faith, yeah. God is really excited. God gets real. Do you believe that? Yeah. God gets really excited when he sees real faith on the earth in this day and age, which is not dissimilar probably to Enoch's, although he lived quite a long time before us. Seventh one from Adam. Jude says, gives us one of Enoch's speeches, the only speech in the Bible from him. And it says, God is coming to judge all the ungodly sinners for the ungodly things that they have spoken about him. And he's coming with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch the seventh from Adam had a vision of the return of the Lord, yes, in glory.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says he's the Lord is coming to judge the ungodly. And he had a godly fear. And so he had God in his house. He bore witness and testimony to the God who created all things, and who created man on the earth to please him. And we have the opportunity to please God when we walk in faith.
Yeah.
And God found certain people. We're only not going to stay here very long. Verse 8, this famous man, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. There's a sense in which when we open our hearts to the Lord and to his Spirit, we go out and we don't know where God's going to take us. We never know, if you like, from 1 year to the next, we could bring it closer, but say from 1 year to the next, where God might take us. A few years ago, we moved up to the, when we came back from Cambodia, we moved to the Wirral, and then just by, you might say, coincidence, somebody who had been helping a Bible study group in Liverpool decided they were moving to another place in the country and took me along. I've been helping that Bible study group since then. And they are asylum seekers, mainly from Iran. And wow, that's an amazing thing, meeting Iranian asylum seekers, people who are coming out of that country, who maybe have met God in that country and had to run for their lives because they were formerly Muslims, and or else they've come to this country for another reason because of the oppression of that country. And as they've come to this country, they discovered God, hallelujah, for themselves. It is. And the thing that God has opened my eyes to in his word, did you know that there are four books of the Bible that are where Persia is key to what happens to God's people?
Yeah.
Four books of the Bible. They are, of course, Ezra, Esther, Nehemiah, and 2 Chronicles. And the king, and Isaiah, of course, is Cyrus. Kairosh is one of the greatest Persian kings to them. He's the greatest of all in biblical terms because he was the one who issued a decree that the Jewish people could return to the land of their fathers and build a temple there. And he said, the God of heaven has appeared to me and told me to do this, to let them go. And that decree of Cyrus, one of them, is in the British Museum. On a cylinder of clay, a clay tablet. It's a big cylinder, and it's one of his. He issued several decrees pretty much around about the same time, within a few years of each other, and this one is in the British Museum. Kairosh. He was named by Isaiah 200 years before he was born. And And he said to the Jewish people, who is there among you? Go up to your country, to the land of your fathers, and God go with you. And then he made sure they had all the support they needed. Yeah. Incredible. God should speak to a pagan emperor like that. And that man obeyed God. And wow. So then you find also Iranians are mentioned, three of the first three people groups on the day of Pentecost who were in Jerusalem mentioned as hearing the words of God speaking to them in their own language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, all Iranians. There is a region of Iran today which is called Elam, southwest Iran, still called Elam. It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that God is now bringing Iranians out of their oppression, out of their darkness, into the liberty of the children of God. It's amazing. Could be, and it's significant, I believe, for our times. I really believe it's significant for the timing of the Lord in all these things. So here we are. Here's Abraham. Come back to him. He went out. He left probably what was one of the wealthiest cities on earth, Ur of the Chaldees at the time. And you can see some of their treasures in the British Museum because we looted them in the 19th century. Okay. So, hallelujah. He had faith. Why did he have faith? Well, he'd seen a vision of the God of glory. Stephen says that, Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. He said, Abraham had a vision of the God of glory. The God of glory appeared to him while he was still in Ur. And then he went to Haran, and God had to move him out of Haran. Maybe he got too settled there. So God moved him into a new place. And sometimes we get too settled, don't we? And we start to settle on the lease, as Amos, was it, who called it, or Micah, he said, God spoke to his nation. He said, you're settling on the lease. So all the dregs are sort of in the bottom, and the wine doesn't taste good. So I'm going to shake you up, and I'm going to move you on to something else. And he does it. Glory to his name. He moves us from one place to another, maybe from one end of the world to another. From one country to another, from one situation to another. This is God, and what God requires of you and I when that moment comes is that we walk in faith, that we respond to his calling and his moving, his prompting in our hearts. Now, Abraham's faith was remarkable, but I believe Sarah's faith was even more remarkable. Same chapter, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Well, she was 90 years old. What amazing faith. That God spoke, and she believed that she could bear a child at 19 years old. To me, that is staggering. And she believed God, and we know that God rewarded her with a son. And this verse that says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This word diligently really means to go all out to seek God for an outcome intensely and personally desired by the seeker. So in other words, you're not kind of easy come, easy go about this. This is real determined seeking of God and staying where you are until God appears to you. Till God appears in some shape or form, by his word, by some activity of God on that impacts your life so that you know you have to do something. And for Ruth and me, that was to go to Thailand from Rora. Donkey's years ago, that was Mark's, wasn't it? Donkey's years ago. Anyway, yeah. And then we came back from Thailand 20 years later almost, and then lived in Worthing for 6 years, and then God said, go to Cambodia. And we went to Cambodia for 9 years, and now we're back again, and who knows where else we'll be. God knows. Hallelujah.
You...
Well, there are far worse places to be, I tell you. It's a beautiful country, absolutely beautiful. Hallelujah. Yeah, so here we are. Abraham embraced God's world purpose of redemption. Let's just go back to Galatians just for a moment. Galatians chapter 3. Sorry, we're bouncing around the Bible here. with a bit of ping pong, but I hope it's makes ties together. Galatians chapter 3. We're looking at walking in faith, by faith, to please God. Therefore, Galatians 3 verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So when God spoke that word to Abraham, which we find in Genesis 12, of course, Abraham somehow had a sense that if he moved out in the purposes of God, if he obeyed God in what God was speaking to him, it would have worldwide ramifications. That's astonishing for a man whose world was circumscribed by the Euphrates Delta. That's where he lived, Euphrates Delta. And probably hasn't changed a lot since his time, some parts of it. And somehow when God spoke that word, he saw the gospel. Because Jesus said, do you remember in John chapter 8 and verse 56, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Amen. He saw the day of Christ by faith, by the Holy Spirit. And then God opened that up to him in other ways, particularly Genesis 22, when God spoke to him to offer up his beloved Isaac on Mount Moriah. And he obeyed God, but believing that God would give him back by resurrection. What was this death and resurrection that Abraham believed in? It was the gospel. God was showing him the gospel. As he obeyed in faith, laid the wood on his son, took the fire, and the son said, Lord, my father, here is the wood, here is the fire, but where is the lamb? And God said to him that God will provide himself a lamb. Hallelujah. God always provides. Amen?
Amen?
God always provides. If we ask him faith, God will provide. Amen. Glory to his wonderful name. The wood and the fire. I just want to go to Leviticus for a minute. Now, you don't be astonished at Leviticus, all right? Leviticus is one of those books that we tend to kind of not delve into too much. But it goes back to last night and walking in love and walking in faith. Leviticus 3. It's talking about someone bringing an offering of a peace offering. And when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle. And then down to verse 5, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood,
yes,
that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And that takes us back to the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Jesus, when he was on the wood of Calvary, his offering smelt so good, so fragrant to God. It was the fire, it was wood, and it was pain, and it was suffering. But by the offering of himself, he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, you and I sitting here today. Hallelujah. So that we could enter into a relationship with God, which never could have been before Jesus did it. Hallelujah. And the cross looked backward so as well as forward. Hallelujah. It looked back to Abraham's day and it looks forward to our day. Glory to his wonderful name. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. I just want to read you something here. This is from a meeting of the Moravians, and it was a meeting like no other meeting back in the 18th century. They had a vision of Christ crucified. They had a vision of the face of Jesus looking down on them in their meeting. And this is, it was the crucified Savior. And they'd been drawing near to God in their meetings. They knew the Holy Spirit was doing something special among them. And then this particular day, Church history records the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 13th of August, 1727. We saw the hand of God in his wonders, and we were all under the cloud of our fathers, baptized with their spirit. The Holy Ghost came upon us, and in those days great signs and wonders took place in our midst. This is Count Zinzendorf writing. From that time, scarcely a day passed but what we beheld his almighty workings among us. A great hunger after the word of God took possession of us, so that we had to have three services every day, 5 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and 9 p.m., because they were working in the fields. You know, they were growing their food. They were on a kind of like communal farm. Everyone desired above everything that the Holy Spirit might have full control. Self-love and self-will, as well as all disobedience, disappeared, and an overwhelming flood of grace swept us all out into the great ocean of divine love. Amazing, isn't it? Times of refreshing may come from the that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter preached one on soon after that day of Pentecost, and he said every church needs times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And I believe this is a day when we need to just ask the Holy Spirit, please, Lord, please pour out the Holy Spirit on our church. Come to him, come to him, ask him, and ask, pray without ceasing on this one. 20 times a day, if you like. Lord, please come, pour out your spirit on our church.
Yes.
Whatever church you come from. Holy Spirit, please come down upon us. Yes. We need you in this day more than we've ever needed you before, if that was possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, we'll go back to the New Testament. And we're going to look at some encounters with Jesus that were Gentiles moving in faith. Or two Gentiles anyway. Matthew chapter 8 is very... early encounter of an Italian centurion. And there were three amazing things about this encounter. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. There's the grace of the Lord. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. He recognized Jesus's authority, of course. Having soldiers under me, I say to this one, go, and he goes, another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He was astonished, absolutely astonished. To hear this, the word literally means he was gobsmacked in our local language. Jesus was gobsmacked. He said, he turned to those who followed him and said, I've never found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. Three amazing things. Firstly, the centurion cared about his sick slave. Slaves were nothing. They had no rights. They were goods and chattels. But this man cared about his sick slave. So that spoke something to Jesus. Secondly, an amazing thing, he implicitly believed in the words that Jesus spoke, Christ, who is the living word. And the third amazing thing, that Jesus found such faith on the earth. And the Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The faith. What faith? The faith, the faith of God moving in the hearts of ordinary men and women like you and me. In our ordinary lives, where we need to have that faith to see God work in our particular circumstances, in our health, in our conditions, in our finances, maybe. We need faith, don't we? We can't operate without it. And God wants us in our conditions, in our circumstances, to depend on him as our provider. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen or provided. Abraham said, and he saw the day of Christ, and he knew that when you belong to Christ, everything is yours. All things are yours, whether life or death or things present or things to come, everything's yours.
Yes.
But we have to possess by faith.
Yes.
We have to possess it by faith, as Larry said in our earlier session. Glory to his wonderful name. So Jesus comes, and this Gentile trusts him. That he only needs to say a word.
Yeah.
Just one word, because the word of Jesus is backed by the authority of God. Now, do we take Jesus at his word? There's that old hymn, isn't there? If our faith were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our life would be all sunshine in the goodness of the Lord. And I believe there's a simplicity of faith. This life of faith is a simple life. Jesus moved among mostly illiterate people, mostly countrymen and women, people who lived in rural areas, who wouldn't have a high education like many of us have. And he preached a life that was possible for all.
Yeah.
So what is God challenging me on today? What part of, in what part of my life do I need to fight the fight of faith?
Yeah.
Because it is a fight, isn't it?
It is.
Because everything can shout against you.
Yeah.
All your circumstances can shout, things will never change. Or even worse, I will never change.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes and he says, son, daughter, look to me and be saved.
Yeah.
Gaze at me. You know, gazing on, somebody prayed it or spoke it earlier, gazing on Christ crucified is a something that we should do. At some point, I come back to it many times. I find gazing on the Lord, spiritually, of course, not with outward eyes, but inward eyes, realizing in the sense of making it real in my consciousness that Jesus shed his precious blood for me, that Jesus was willing to go to such lengths to wash me from my sins so that I could have a relationship with him that would never, ever end, hallelujah, but only go on growing. Glory to his wonderful name. Oh, precious Savior, this is what he promises for us. And but it is a fight, it's a battle, and sometimes there are powers in that battle. If we go to Matthew 16, we find that Jesus confronted those powers. And here was a poor woman who was also a Gentile who had to confront powers. 15. Jesus, verse 21, went out from where he was and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and there was a woman of Canaan, you might have Syrophoenician, somebody from that area who was not Jewish, and she knew that Jesus was in the area. And she cried out, she found him, and she cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon possessed. And the Lord didn't answer her.
Yeah.
Now that we might think, Lord, why did you not answer her? She had a great need, absolutely great need, not for herself, but for a loved one in her family. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. You can imagine, oh, this woman is such a pain. She's just bellowing and hollering, or, you know, saying, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. And she wouldn't give up. And that's the whole point. She wouldn't give up. Hallelujah. And Jesus, eventually, she comes to him and she kneels in the dust at his feet. And she says, Lord, help me. And the Lord has already given an answer. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his primary mission, was to bring the house of Israel back to God. And sadly, they rejected him, put him on the cross, and said, we will not have this man to reign over us. But here was a woman who came to Jesus, and she was not of that nation. And she persisted and persisted. And then she got the answer she wanted. She came to the Lord and she worshipped him. She just got in the dust. And as we do that too, that's where we find the place of help.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we might be in a pit of darkness. We might be in a pit where unbelief has almost squashed out the light of God from our life. And we have to fight against that.
Yeah.
You know, there are days, I think, particularly through the pandemic and afterwards, there, I know there are people in the church where we are who day after day, they have to have a mental fight when they get up, a mental fight to get above those things that come against them.
Right, yeah.
You might experience that in your life. I don't know. I do, certainly do. A mental fight where you have to realize that you are in a place with Jesus where you're not fighting for the victory, you're fighting from the victory. Because Jesus has already got the victory over every demonic principality and power. And when he was on the cross, he stripped them off himself. You know, they flocked to him trying to, you know, say all the things they wanted to say, and he just went like this, and he stripped them off himself. And they were under his feet. Hallelujah. And Jesus did that for you and for me.
Yes.
So that those powers and principalities have no part in our life. That's a place that we need to come to in faith. That we are in the victory being in Jesus. We are in the victor. We are in the victor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Jesus walked by faith to Jerusalem. He walked by faith to the cross. So when we come to pray and we seem to get no answer, what do we do? What do we do? Well, so often we easily give up, don't we? We pray to someone in our family maybe, and we just don't see any change in them, or if anything, they get even worse than they were before in their resistance to the gospel or their reactions to us. And we say, oh, okay, nothing's happening, I just won't pray. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Jesus may be silent, but his silence has a purpose. In this lady's life, it was to bring her to a place of faith and worship and trust in him that she never had before. And there are times when God may be silent in our lives because he's drawing us to a place of worship, of faith that we never had before, where our faith is expanded and where we have to trust him more than we've ever had before, and into places and prayers, as Larry was saying, places of intercession where we've never been before. And you know, we might say, well, sometimes God doesn't answer prayer. Well, I would say God always answers prayer, but not always in the way that we anticipate. Yeah. And the ways, sometimes his ways are past finding out, and we will only find out when we see him face to face. But in the meantime, in our life, this fight of faith, we have to stand on the ground that Christ has won for us, which is the blood-soaked ground of Calvary. And the blood of Jesus Christ, as I may have said last night, is the most powerful moral and spiritual force on earth in the visible and invisible realms. In the visible realms in our life, in my life, the blood of Christ washes me from sin. Hallelujah. And if I'm conscious that I've stepped out of line with the Lord, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonderful Lord, so that we can forgive, we can let things go, maybe that have hurt us deeply, and we can let it go to the Lord, and we can begin a new relationship or in a new situation where we have never been before, because we've discovered God actually has arranged our circumstances so that it should be that way, to bring us into a new place with him. Am I making sense here?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, one more. We'll go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 45, or somewhere like that. Matthew 10. This man was quite probably Jewish and a very well known man. Whoops. Sorry, Mark. Mark 10. All right, it's in Mark, not Matthew this time. Mark 10, all right. And 46. Okay, this is Last Chance Saloon. Last Chance Saloon, all right. The last time Jesus was going through Jericho. And they came to the outskirts and there were hordes of people and his disciples, crowds and crowds. And there was this man called Bartimaeus. Now he's named, so he must have been well known in New Testament times. Because it said, you know, somebody say in Jerusalem, oh, look, that's Bartimaeus in the meeting over there. Do you remember him? He never used to be able to see, but now look at him. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then people told him to shut up and stop hollering and all that. But he cried out all the more, because if you really have the faith of Christ in your heart, people will always tell you to shut up and stop having such crazy ideas. For instance, that the world came from the mouth of God. He spoke the word. And creation rose in form complete, as Isaac Watts puts it. That it didn't come by evolution. That this marvelous creation all around us came by the fiat of God, by God's express command, let light be, and the time-space continuum bursts into being. And here we are. Okay, we're crazy for believing that God could do it in 6 days. But as a Thai brother said to me, he was a young brother in the Lord then, and he said to me, well, that makes more sense that God did it in 6 days, because it means he's a mighty God. Yeah. And when we see creation, it's a mighty work, isn't it? Everything is mighty, whether it was the stars last night or whether it's the creation around us. Everything displays the glory of God, and we can see it because Christ is in us. Oh, Lord, open the blind eyes. Yeah, but kids are brainwashed. Kids are brainwashed, and we have to pray that God will open the eyes of the younger generation, because they're receiving stuff that impacts their life every day through education, through media, through social media, and it's all saying there is no God. That's the whole aim of the devil's drive, as we well know in this time, but God, as in all ages, but particularly through the digital age, it's coming in a concentrated barrage of unbelief at them, and we have to pray for them. And Jesus stood still. Many warned him to be quiet, this Bartimaeus, but Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Okay, they changed their tune. Okay, when they heard Jesus speak, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, what was his garment? Well, that was his beggar's cloak. It was his old identity. It was his old identity. And he decided, I'm not going to have the old identity anymore. I'm going to be a new person in Jesus Christ. Yes. Have we come to that place in our walk of faith with the Lord? Are there old habits that die hard in your life? Yeah. Or patterns of thought in your mind that come from way, way back maybe, and still they dog your life? And I know that can be the case with me for sure. And I have to come to that place of faith where I say, no, that is not me. That is not me in Jesus. That is the old life. And Jesus has given me a new life, and I can come to him and ask him to renew me in the spirit of my mind, which is where the combat usually is the fiercest. Please, Lord, renew me in the spirit of my mind on this particular issue. Or if I have feelings of hurt that go way, way back, I can say to the Lord, Lord, I may not be able to forget what happened, but Lord, please take the pain of those feelings away. And we were praying with a sister up on the Wirral, and she had an awful experience in childhood. And this is how God led us to pray. Lord, she can't forget, but Lord, please take away the pain of the memory. The associated pain. And God can do that. I believe God can do that. I know he's done it for me in certain areas of my life and experiences. He takes the sting away. And one day he'll blot out the memory as well. Praise his wonderful name. So here we are. And Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and again, Jesus is drawing faith from him. Jesus brings us to places so that he can draw faith in our out of our hearts that is bigger than we've ever experienced before. And we can pray, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help my unbelief. You know, I've got a problem with unbelief. Lord, please help me in this area. Help me to trust you for this part of my life, this experience, this thing, challenge I'm facing in my life, this difficult person who's in my, you know, who I have to see every day. And Lord, I need to know just how to be with that person. And Jesus has given us a new life. And this life is a life of faith where we come to him and we say, Lord, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And we tell him exactly what we need. Lord, I need to see things in a different way. I need to see from a new perspective, as Larry was saying. You think of the man who, the two men, the one built his house on bedrock. He dug deep to get to bedrock. He put effort into it. He had to seek to get down to that bedrock. He had to seek it out. He had to really put everything into it. And the other man kind of was, Tai say choi choi, he kind of just, oh, easy come, easy go, you know, we'll be okay, nothing will happen. Haven't had a flood in these parts for 100 years. And then suddenly the flood comes and it hits both houses. It's not just the foolish man's house, and foolish means living life from a wrong perspective, basically. But it hits both houses and the waters rise, but one house stands because that man is living his life from God's perspective. He's trusting God to keep him in the midst of all the turmoil, all the circumstances, all the cataclysmic events that are happening on earth or have happened in the last 20 years. From the tsunami at the beginning of the 21st century, pandemic, war in Europe, who knows what's going to happen next. But God doesn't make it all happen at the same time. God is merciful. He wants people to repent. He wants us to be a light and a testimony to him in the ungodly days in which we live, as Enoch was, because he walked in faith and he pleased God by the faith he showed, by the trust he showed. And when we have opportunity to say to people around us, look, we don't have to be worried and stressed. There is a God who promises to take care of us if we trust ourselves to him. And maybe it's only a sentence, and maybe it's, you know, a couple of sentences you can say, but God can take those words and put them straight into the heart of that person. So what do we do? And Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, and immediately he saw spiritually what God was after. He went straight after Jesus. And we must do the same. When we see what God is spiritually after in our lives, we go straight after Jesus and say, Lord, make me new in this part of my life. Lord, maybe, you know, it's hard to see. Lord, how did I die with you? Lord, please show me how I died with you on that cross. How you put me to death, my old man, so that I should not be dominated by old habits, old thoughts, old words, old ways, so that I can live a really new life. And Peter says this, come to him, come to that living stone who is chosen of God and precious. And he's already used the word precious. He says, to you who believe, he is precious. Now he says, come to him. Jesus said, come to me. This is the simplicity of faith. Whatever we lack, Jesus still says, come to me. Have we come to him today? Have we come to him saying, Lord, I really need you for today for this particular thing in my life? Or have we thought, now what should I do about this? Oh, I'm getting really stressed over this problem. No, come to him. Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Grace is with us. And that's the kind help of the Lord in every situation that we face from day to day. Praise his wonderful name. Let's just take a moment to thank the Lord for his goodness, shall we? And and then...
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you take us on. Perhaps we don't like hurdles, Lord. We like to think that we've arrived, but we know that's not the case. Yeah. Thank you for the word of truth and the troubles this morning.
Yeah, amen, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Lead us on faith, Lord.
Yes.
Give us grace to and faith to follow.
Yes.
To be obedient servants, to be worthy servants. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you ever found me, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you washed away my sin. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But I know you need to fit me to a different life. Yes. And so I ask you to be real. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Around what's going on in the world, and you spoke to me. You've reminded me when Jesus was out in the boat with his disciples and he was sleeping, and the disciples started getting concerned because the wind was coming. And so Peter, I believe, went and woke Jesus up. Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and the disciples couldn't believe that even Jesus could do that. And it reminds me, Lord, how important it is that we look to you, Lord, not worrying about what's going on, Lord. We might just feel that Stephen and I particularly feel that we need to put our trust more in you, not to worry what's going on around us, Lord. Because we can't wait for you, Lord Jesus, Lord. You said you would, Lord. All we need to do is just trust you in faith, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you that you know the beginning and the end and everything that's going on around us, Lord. And all we have to do is keep looking to you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for that.
We weren't even looking for you at the time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those things that we were going to have to face.
Yes.
Bless
you,
Lord. I want to thank you for just being there for us, and thank you for the perfect love that passed out for you.
Amen.
You have been faithful.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen,
Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
You know, before we depart, I've just been so refreshed.
Thank God.
We need to be built up in our most holy faith.
Yeah.
And before, I just have this bit of a crazy idea here, but just one of the places we go, and there's so many there that when they pray now, automatically everyone prays. And I just feel for even 1 minute, we all stand, if you're able to stand, we all stand and we all pray, because we've been impacted with something in the last hour. We've been impacted by one thing. And you may say, well, that's just between me and the Lord. Exactly. Exactly. But we've been encouraged in faith. Pray. Persist. And our sister, ask. Keep on asking. So we're all going to pray one thing together. You can pray in English. You can pray in Hebrew. You can pray in a tongue. Or you can silently pray. But we're all going to pray. Confess with our mouths something.
Hallelujah.
Lord, Lord. So let's right now, for 1 minute, we're all going to pray.
Lord, I thank you. I bless your name.
Lord, I thank you. Blessed be your name.
Lord, I thank you. To really believe this, put in our hearts to do, Lord. I pray that you hold this, Lord. Bring it to pass. Thank you. Thank you for this encouraging word. Thank you.
just ask you to come with me pain and that people's situation where you bring these things here together that you want to truly live amongst us and have your way and do miracles in the world amongst you and you're going to do it from the Lord and to see you give us your will and you bring your miracles and you see it and thank you Lord
mighty miracles and
all the world thank you for this world thank you Lord
thank you Lord
thank you Jesus
thank you Jesus
thank you Lord
Amen. Yes, Lord.
The pain has ended, my dear sister.
The
pain is eased.
Amen.
He is the remover of the effects
of
painful events in our lives. The effects, the memories may still go, but they're still there, but the effect of them will be eased.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord, so generous.
Jesus.
You know, I've been so. What this morning, this last hour, I have seen what it is to be, I have seen, I have felt, I have experienced what it is to be built up
in
your most holy faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
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 We go on in the strength of this and we look forward to meeting together. What time is the meeting tonight at?
Seven.
7 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
And have a wonderful day in the meantime. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
Yeah. You didn't preach like that 30 years ago. You were good then, but boy, hallelujah. Isn't it great to travel on? And he matures like a good wine. He matures us and makes it even more tasty. Hallelujah. It's not that I drink it myself, but you know what I mean. Yeah.